So when you're going into a big game and you're playing a superstar, you need every edge. It's like when you would go into a game and you're facing Carlo Koliakovo, you needed every single advantage to beat Carlo Koliakovo, who now joins us on Overdrive. How are you, Carlo?
I'm great, boys. Yeah, they would have got a stick in the mouth if they ever tried to take it. That is me.
Well, it's good to hear your voice. You're wrapping up a much deserved week off. You had a little.
What have you been up to? How's the vacation been? You're a cottage guy now?
Pooley, I've always been a cottage guy, but talk about like taking a vacation at the right time, right place and right time. Mm-hmm. This week off was absolutely what me and my family needed. I feel
good,
so refreshed,
I bet.
So energized. And, you know, the weather was beautiful. The scenery was incredible. And just being around family, I think that's what everybody was most excited about. And hopefully you guys are taking advantage of it, too, the fact that we get to see some of our family members right now. But just a breath of fresh air, considering how hard it's been the last couple of months. And I tell you what. It's Friday. I woke up this morning. It felt like Saturday. And I'm like, holy cow, I'm totally lost. But it was awesome. It was awesome. I rented a friend's cottage, and me and a couple of my family members went down, and we had a blast.
Are you a lake guy now? Because we had that debate last summer, remember?
It's funny you say that. So everybody went in the lake except for me. I sat on the dock, and I was ripping the lips off of fishes.
Okay.
I had a great time fishing. I was, you know, in the shallow part helping my kids, you know, run into the water and stuff. But my brother-in-law, who was with me every morning, he'd go in, he'd bring the soap and stuff. He'd jump right in and shower in the lake. And I'm like, nah, that's not for me.
Wow.
Yeah, not a lake guy. I'm a pool guy. It's like I told you, Mark. I'm not even an ocean guy. I don't like swimming in stuff that I can't see underneath me.
I know. Well, it's funny. You can handle 250-pound NHL players hacking at your back and going into the corners with them, but you go into a water and there might be a smallmouth bass, and you're like, I'm out of here. I can't handle this. So.
Yeah, no, it was a good week of fishing, too. The fish were biting. My son got to catch a couple fish, too, so. That was a lot of fun.
Awesome.
A lot of fun. A lot of barbecuing and a lot of good times with family.
Well, Carlo, we've held off most of the major decisions until you returned, just so you didn't miss anything.
Thanks for that. We've been doing the show all week waiting for info, and then we were told, not Carlo.
The most exciting thing we have is that you caught a fish.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that came up, and I know you follow the NBA closely, Avery Bradley from the LA Lakers made a decision not to play.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a health issue with his son, and he doesn't want to, you know, take any risk at all. And I immediately thought of you and with Leo and your situation.
Yeah.
And if you were a player in today's game, how do you think you would handle that same decision?
You know, Pooley, I'm so glad you asked me that, because I asked my wife that question actually yesterday, because I did see that Avery Bradley comment, and I've seen a lot of the speculation that has come out in regards to the concerns, especially the spikes that are going on in Florida. And I asked my wife, I said, you know, if I was still playing and this situation was something that I had to encounter, would you be okay if I went back to playing? And she goes, well, what would be any different than any other year? I mean, we make the sacrifices because we know this is your profession. We know this is your job. We know this is what you love to do. And ultimately, she would leave the decision up to me. And, you know, that's something that we've always done throughout my career. And the way I would look at it is, yes, there would be concern because of my son. I obviously wouldn't entertain bringing my family into it, but I've sacrificed being away from my family even during a normal season. I went to play in Europe without my family for a couple months. You know, there was a time I signed late in the season and I was living on my own for the longest time. And, you know, I've made those sacrifices to be around for my family. But I think when you're talking about this time right now, I would still feel comfortable knowing that, you know, the health and safety protocols are there to eliminate as much risk as possible. I mean, you're talking about daily testing, right? This is such important information for every athlete, because at least you know what you're dealing with. And, you know, you talk about what the NBA is going through and, you know, the billionaire bubble that they're putting together. You have to think that's probably the safest place to be rather than out in the real world. Mm-hmm. So for me, myself, obviously there would be the discussion, but I would absolutely because it's what I love to do. I would absolutely put myself out there back to playing, because who knows when another opportunity like this might come again. You know, your career. I mean, I played 14 years in the NHL, and it's so hard to believe. It goes by so fast.
And, Carlo, you talk about that and the security and safety of the bubble, and there's a great chance that it is safer to go into the bubble than it is to go to the grocery store.
Well, I mean, right
at least
now,
I spoke with a player today. Right, yeah, I spoke with a player today on an American team who'd flown into his city, and he was tested for the first time, and he has to pass four straight tests before he's allowed to skate with the guys.
Yeah.
And, you know, much more diligent. I haven't been tested, and, you know, and we haven't been tested in this house at all. And we're, you know, when we go out, we do wear masks to the grocery store and the drugstore and those things. I don't wear it on the golf course, but I wear it when I'm out of the house. And you are safer in that environment. And it's interesting with the golfers, because they talked about the golfers that had contracted it and the caddies, and that wasn't at the course, they didn't feel. So they've done their tracing and tracking, and they felt that in each case it wasn't at the golf course, that it was contracted.
And Pooley, that brings up a great point too, because I think what this 4 months has done for everybody in our world, it's allowed us to sit back and learn and educate ourselves about the proper things that we need to do every day. You know, the more focus on life awareness, self awareness, and these are all important things as an individual if you're going to enter a team environment like that. Because, you know, I was having this conversation today with my father-in-law, who I'm out here with right now, and I said, you know, because he's telling me too, well, what if something happens? And I'm thinking to myself, why would you want to put yourself as the player in that situation where you're the reason why there's been an outbreak because of something you did? Like, think about the embarrassment that person has to live with. So I would think that every person every player that's about to enter into this phase is going to take it seriously and going to understand, you know, the effects of one of their mishaps. And again, you know, what we've seen so far in sports right now, this is good education for the leagues that are about to start up, because they're seeing how it's getting contracted. They're seeing how it's being handled, and they're going to see, you know, what the repercussions are going to be. Hopefully there's none of them, but they're going to see sort of, you know, how it plays out, so that when the NHL and the NBA and even MLB are starting back, they know how to handle these outbreaks and know how to contain them so that it can be as smooth as they possibly can during the most most difficult circumstances.
He is the co-host of First Up. He'll be carrying me on that show next week, Carlo Colaiacomo.
Oh, can't wait, buddy. Can't wait.
I know. It's been a while.
It has. I see you got quite the tan, though, man. Where have you been?
It's my backyard.
planting those tomato plants, eh?
You sounds like you're joking, but I'm serious. I have a vegetable garden now.
Hey, man, you're marrying into an Italian family. Oh, I wouldn't expect any different.
We could do a whole segment on constructing a vegetable garden and an 88-year-old no-no, like, really doing more work than I did. But anyways, Artemi Panarin, the comments that he made yesterday, where he, you know, the topic of escrow, what player loves escrow? That's obvious. But, you know, he doesn't want to come back until that's addressed and escrow is gone. And from a player's perspective, I totally understand that fight. Uh-huh. I wonder about the timing. The argument can be made for either side. But what did you think about Panarin coming out just over 2 weeks before a training camp is supposed to begin?
Well, first of all, I'm surprised at how good the conference or the sentence that he came out with. I find it hard to believe that he's the guy who actually wrote that, because, you know, it seems so legal in the way that it came out.
With English being a second language, you're saying?
Yes, exactly. And, you know, it sounded like a very smart thing to come out and say. But what I really question when I read that is, how informed are the players throughout this process? Because everything that I know, and I would imagine everybody in the hockey world knows, is that part of the phase three and maybe in phase four return to play is going to involve a new CBA. And so, I mean, unless I'm wrong, or maybe that gets put on the backtracks. Mm-hmm. I don't think so. I think that's what needs to be done. There has to be a new CBA because things are, you know, out of the ordinary right now. I understand escrow. It's something that it's not fun to pay. I mean, as an athlete, but you know, as Pooley would know, escrow has allowed the system and the salary cap and the NHL to thrive. To really understand it, I know players don't like paying a lot of it, and they would want the owners to at least absorb some more of it. But every team has to spend $60+ million. Mm-hmm. In a normal world without the cap, you wouldn't have that sort of same level of pay scale across the league, and it's allowed players like Artemi Panarin to make $11.6 million and get bonus money up front. And you know, I can understand the frustration around it, but again, if I'm a player right now, this is the last thing I would want to bring to the forefront after everything baseball just went through. Because you have to think that hockey has been sort of civil in their approach, and they've negotiated in good faith to return to play. Mm-hmm. If hockey players start picking this fight, you would hate to think of how ugly it could possibly get. But in saying that, I believe there is something to be said there about escrow, because as high as the potential that players could possibly play coming out of this, I would side with the players that the owner's got to absorb some of it too.
Well, very much so, Carlo, but, you know, and I don't want to get technical at all here, but each summer, to do with the inflator, the players have chosen in most years to take the 5% false inflator to increase
absolutely
the salary
right
cap.
Yeah.
And so you're a free agent next summer, and you say, well, I've voted 5% for the last 4 years.
Yeah.
For the other guys who are free agents, it's my free agent summer, I'm voting 5%. In the last couple of years, they've decreased that artificial inflator. Mm-hmm. And the reason that escrow is as large as it is because the players have voted to artificially increase that over the last 6 or 8 years, or the cap wouldn't be what it is right now. And so,
yeah, exactly.
You know, so just with your buddies that you hang with and you keep in close touch with, how much are they focused on the CBA right now, or how much are they focused on the back-to-play rules? Because that's a lot of information to digest for two different things.
You're absolutely right, and I think it's half and half. There's guys that are focused on both because there is concerns in both areas. You know, one of my best friends is Alex Pietrangelo, and he's the biggest fish on the UFA market right now, and that's one thing that, you know, he talks about and he thinks about, and obviously the return to play. I mean, his wife's pregnant, and it's supposedly she's supposed to have the baby during the return to play. So there's a lot of things that's going through his mind to return to play, but he's obviously excited about returning to play. But again, it goes back to what I first said when I commented on Panarin. It makes me question how much these players are really informed about what's going on, because all the talk has been about the health and safety protocol that's going to take place in the bubble. We don't even know where the hub cities are. You know, where the players have to plan to play. But you would think, too, that players would have the same concern about escrow coming out of this because, you know, part of the reason, let's be honest, sports returning is great. A big reason why they're returning is the business aspect of the game, mm-hmm. so that players don't have to pay back so much escrow next year. That's part of the return to play, is they're trying to limit that cost. But you would think that more players would pay more attention to it. I don't know if I would come out publicly and address it, because nothing good ever comes out addressing stuff publicly. But you would think that there has to be that internal conversation going on, that it is a concern for both health and safety and for escrow and the growth of the game.
Carlo, it's been great catching up with you. And while we wait for hockey to return, golf has already returned, and I'm not talking about the Travelers Championship. I'm talking about the face-off at TPC Toronto.
I love it.
I want you on the record right now. Who do you have your money on? Team Duffy or Team Dubas?
Wow, this is a tough one. By the way, I'm so glad an event like this is taking place, just because of the profile of the guys that are taking part. I mean, you talk about Duffy and O'Neill and the battles that they've had. You know, the unknown in Kyle Dubas, I don't know how good of a golfer he is. Pooley, maybe you do. But
I do not.
Jerry D, I think, is the catalyst here, because I've always said when you do an event like this, you should have a comedian involved to keep things light, to chirp people, to keep people off their game. I think if Jerry D can bring his A game, he'll definitely throw the old dog off, which will throw Duffy off, and which maybe give the winning team to Duvis and to Jerry D.
So well, if he's anything like he was yesterday on our show, Carlo?
I heard, and I was dying of laughter.
I didn't even ask him a question. I think I just introduced him, and then he went off on Duffy.
Well, have you seen the Twitter war those guys are creating?
It's really funny.
God, it's hysterical. Yeah. It's hysterical.
And it's turning people who are normally so even-keeled and polite into like just Dan, like Duffy called you Carlos on Twitter because you're at him.
Like he's calling Jerry like Jerry with a J. I'm like, spell his name right. Come on.
Oh God.
He's chirping Duffy for being a teleprompter guy. Yeah. Duffy's throwing jabs at Duvis for being a math guy. Like this is what an event like this needs. Mm-hmm. You know, throw the golf etiquette out the window. You need the blowhorns in the back. You need talking in the backswing. You need jabs. You need all the banter you need just to make it a fun event. Because not only is it a fun event, it's for a great cause. And that's ultimately, you know, who's going to be the winner out of all this.
And as we wrap up here on TSN4, our viewers can see the Duffy tweet where he had the poll funniest actor on Mr. D and essentially was naming everyone, and then the fourth one was anyone but Jerry. Yeah. And then Jerry wrote, to me, this is just cruel and uncalled for. This came out of nowhere. I don't know James Duffy at all. I'm not sure what point he's trying to make with a poll like this. Going to keep being positive. I wish you well, Mr. Duffy. Like,
oh, it's classic,
so good.
Man.
Yeah, he's so good.
I've been texting Jerry. I've been telling him, you got to ramp up your chirp game, buddy. Come on. We need more.
No problems
more.
There. Anyways, Carlo, enjoy the rest of your vacation. I look forward to listening to you on First Up next week. And then at the end of
Thank
the week,
boys.
Working with you. It should be a lot of fun. All the best to you and the family.
Thanks, boys. Have a great weekend, okay?
You got it.
You as well, Carlo.
Carlo Kuliakovo, a co-host of First Up, still doesn't love swimming in lakes, but had a great time at the cottage.
Well, loves getting up early in the morning, and he brings it every morning at 6 a.m., and that's admirable trade, I'll tell you what.
I have been fortunate to fill in for Michael a bunch of times on that show, and you know, you come in around 5:15, 5:30, everyone is, well, you can expect what everyone's like, kind of rubbing their eyes. Like what happened in the third period there? And Carlo comes in, and I would 100% every single time. All right, guys, what's going on? How's everyone doing? It's like, how are you in this mood right now? And he just loves being here, loves talking sports, loves being with the team. You know,
he's been a great addition to the team.
He really has.